Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you for this time that we've been able to come and stand before your throne, Lord, and worship you in music. God, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, Lord, because we know that you alone are worthy. We just ask that you would come, that you would continue to move here this morning, Lord, that you would have your hand on Pastor Josh as he comes to give your words. And Father, I just pray that you'll put a guard over his mouth, Lord, that whatever he speaks would be of you, Lord, and that you would silence anything that is not to be said this morning. We just ask that you would come, that your presence would just be so, so powerful here, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. God, we love you, and we give you praise for what you are doing here this morning and what you are going to continue to do throughout the day and through our lives. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask all things. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to continue on in a spirit of praise and worship as we give back and our offerings back to God. I want to have Travis come help me with this. Let's go to prayer. Let's pray over this offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you have blessed us with everything we need. And Lord, you promise us you will meet our needs. As we give back joyfully and with a heart back to you what is rightfully yours, the small bit that you asked for, we ask that you would bless it. Allow it to continue to do your work. I pray for guidance over the people who make the decisions, that you would give us wisdom how to best use this money to glorify your kingdom, to glorify your name. For you alone are worthy of all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I want to brag on you guys for a couple of seconds before we continue on. I preached, and I know full well the attacks were going to come. The attacks on this church came much quicker and much harder than I anticipated. And the other day when I had to reach out for help, the amount of people who came forward, offer their services to help members in need. And when I put it up in the prayer group and I see so many people dropping to their knees and praying, that's what this is about. About being the hands and feet of Jesus. Even though our members are under attack right now, I say it's a good thing. If Satan feels he needs to attack us so quickly and so fast, then something big must be coming. I think for the first time we have Satan worried. I think he's afraid what's going to happen in this town. I've been saying it, growth has been prophesied. God's going to do amazing things if we let him use us. And when I saw the church, when I called my wife and I said, I need help, can you rally some people up here for me? And she got on the phone and the people kept coming in and they came in here. And when I put up in the, when I put stuff up in the prayer group and I see so many people dropping to their knees and praying, man, we may not be on fire yet, but we are not cold either. We're not as hot as we want to be, but we are getting there, church. And we're going to keep fighting this fight. And we just let the devil know that we're in this to win it now. And we are not giving up. We are not stopping. There's an expression the NRA uses, you can have my gun when you pull it from my cold, dead fingers. Well, here's what I got to say. They can have these souls when they pull them from our cold, dead fingers. The only thing that's going to stop us from working for Christ and continuing to do his will is if we die. Sorry, I had to say that. We're going to do communion here, and Lex, I'm so sorry, but can you come up and just do some instrumental? There is a reason why we don't do communion. Here's that reason. I don't want this ever to become ritual or tradition. Every time we take communion, I want you to think about what it is. On the night which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He broke it. He said, this is my body given for you. And again, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you. We're told not to do this unworthily, but to examine ourselves and make sure we are in the faith. That's why we only do this once a month. Because I don't ever want you to take for granted what this means. All right? The bread we eat is the body of Christ because he went to the cross for you. The juice we drink represents the blood of Christ spilled for your sins. So with that being said, we're going to do communion a little bit differently today. Whenever you are ready, I want you to come up here and just partake on your own. But before you come, I want you to reflect on yourself. Is there some sin hidden inside of you that you need to get right with God? Is there something that you think you are hiding from God? Like I said, I may not be able to see it. Man, you guys all look like a great bunch of people to me. But I can only see your outside. God is looking at your heart. And if Jesus was coming to your house today and he was knocking at the door and you let him in, would you have to go hide some stuff? That's where you are right now. Before you come, take this communion. I pray you get right before God first, that you do not take this unworthily. I also want to say this. No one here is going to condemn you if you have fallen into some type of sin. We're just going to give you a hand back up because none of us are perfect. And I sure hope if I fall into sin that Wanda or Ember or Danny or Travis or Whitney or Josh, they'll help me back up. So we're going to pray. And when you are ready, come and partake. And when we're done, we'll go into our sermon for today. Dearly Father, we thank you for what this represents. We thank you that it represents the body of your Son, the blood that he poured out for our sins, that we may be saved. Lord, I ask for conviction where it's needed today and comfort. Bring forth any hidden sin that is out. Let people repent and be forgiven. And with that forgiveness, let comfort rain down upon them. Let none of us esteem ourselves better than the others. But realize that we are all struggling in this world and this walk together. And if there's any among us who have fallen, let us reach our hand down and help them back up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever you are ready, come to the table. Thank you, church, for going before God. So when I first found out I was taking over, I prayed for a series that God would give me. I knew I wanted to do something big and something bold and something somewhat dramatic. And he gave me the At the Movie series. And he started laying it out for me. And while this is starting a brand new series, this kind of caps off everything we've been talking about. So as we step forward in our faith and we are attacked, because we understand we're in the battle, so we put on the armor of God. Well, fear comes along with that. So today our sermon is, our first series in the game shows is Fear Factor. It's time to put away that fear. So Fear Factor was an interesting game show. It was a combination of wild and dramatic stunts along with eating gross things. And so I I was going through, how am I going to do this? And I stumbled across something. And so I need volunteers. Okay. Anyone else? We need one more person. Voice? Oh, come on. It's perfectly safe. Take off your glasses, please. Yeah. It's perfectly safe. It won't hurt you at all, I promise. Come on, Delon. All right. Can you see? All right, good. All right, so I'm just going to, you want to hint what it is? Okay, I'm just going to say it's a good thing I know a lot of farmers around here. And you like beef? I don't know if this might be too small for you. Here, Kathy, do you want to come do it? You probably know better than I do. So yeah, I hope you guys like beef. In case you don't know, beef is cow. And this is not part of the cow that you would find on any normal grocery shelf. But I promise you it won't hurt you in the least. It may even improve your eyesight. Can you see anything? All right, so I'm going to show everybody out there what you're going to be eating. That looks pretty disgusting, doesn't it? So, man, I don't even want to. Oh, wow. All right, so hold up one of your hands. All right, it's in a cup. All right, so you got the cup. All right, so there's five of them in here. Do you want to know what they are? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. It's cow eyes. So you got five of them. The first one to eat all five wins the prize, which is a if I can find them. I have them somewhere. A free coffee and a free slider from Arby's. All right. Are you ready? All right, on the count of three, you go ahead and start. However you want to do it. If you want to dig in with your hand or just... Good luck. One, two, three, go. Oh. All right, I think Jeb beat you by just a fraction of a second. There you go. You can take your blindfolds off. How did they take? Yeah. Did you really think I was going to feed you eyeballs? Oh, okay. All right. But the whole point of that was when it comes to fear, just like I lied to them, fear is going to lie to you. And to overcome fear, that's the biggest thing we need to realize, is that our enemy is nothing but a liar. And when he comes across you with fear, it's because he's going to lie to you. So here's the questions we're going to answer today. One is, what kind of spirit was I given? Two, what am I afraid of? Three, what should I fear? Four, who am I listening to? And finally, I cast my fears in the fire and follow God. Let's pray over our message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for that helping us realize that the enemy is nothing but a liar, and that when the fear comes up, that's nothing but a lie, and that you hold us in our hands. As we heard in the songs, Lord, you will part the seas and let us walk through it, that nothing can remove you from your love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, I pray for open hearts, open minds to this message. I pray that you would guide my tongue and only let me put forth truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our main text, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, be not ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me of his prisoner, but share in his suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. and which now is manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ to abolish death and brought forth immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed to preach an apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposited and trusted within you. 1 Timothy 7 through 14. Continuing on. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. So ask yourself, what kind of spirit were you given? You were not given the spirit of fear. You were not given the spirit of fear. Thank you. That's not what you were given. Right? The God of the universe told you, I will be with you. The waters will not overtake you. The fire will not kindle upon you. Years ago, there was a horrific plane crash on the Tenerife Islands. They all got sidetracked there because of dense fog. One captain of his plane decided he had to fill up on fuel. Decided not to listen to the tower instructions. So as he was taxiing to take off, another plane was pulling up. That plane tried to take off. He couldn't get up because he put all the fuel in. He wound up cutting the second plane in half, dousing the entire jet in fuel. And that jet then burst into flames. There was a Christian man on that jet. And he said as he got up, the scriptures ran through his mind. And the one he settled upon was Isaiah. The flames will not burn you, nor will they kindle upon you. You know what he did? Did he cower in fear as the people around him burned to death? He said, God, I'm claiming your promise. And he walked through that fire. The people in front of him, behind him, and to either side of him were burned beyond recognition. But he walked out of that plane. The only reason he got hurt was because he climbed out into the wing and jumped down. And instead of tucking and rolling when you jump from a height, he landed on his feet. He busted his heels up really bad. Do you understand that? The God of the universe, his son lives within you. And he is greater than anything you're going to ever face. You were not given a spirit of fear. What kind of spirit were you given? You were given a spirit of power. We sing it all the time. There's power in the name of Jesus. Do you actually believe that or do you just sing it? I believe it. I claim it. There ain't nothing you're facing you can't overcome because you have the power within you. You got the power in Jesus. Are you willing to sit here and sing it and not claim it? Not believe it? What kind of spirit were you given? You were given a spirit of love. I think the Christian church is...
You like that one? Yeah.
I think the Christian church is moving away from the spirit of love. Okay? I'm not saying that we have to abide sin. We can come across hard against sin, but still love the sinner. You think it's horrible that these illegal immigrants are coming into our country, and you think that's wrong? We can try to stop it, but still do it in love. You hear what's going on at the borders where they're ripping kids away from their parents? How is that showing love? We're the same country who says we are pro-life and we don't want, we love everybody, but you're not doing that. I don't care where you stand on that. That is not showing love. We're the same country. We'll go down to Mexico on missions. But oh, don't let them in. We're the same people who use vile words to describe homosexuals. Words I will not repeat. Starts with an F. How is that showing love to them? If you go up to them and you call them those vile names. You can come against sin, but still show love. Does that make sense? That's the spirit you were given. You were given a spirit of love. Finally, you were given a spirit of self-control. I think this cartoon sums it up perfectly. The heart says, want, and starts to jump, and the brain says, don't need, and grabs and slaps it back down. The key to life is moderation. I think we've all heard this over and over and over again. Don't do anything in excess. Don't buy beyond your means. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Don't eat too much. Guilty. Don't drink too much. Self-control. When someone says something against God, come back against them with love. Yes, you should be able to defend what you know, and you should come across them. But if you do it in love, you have a better chance of them coming back and talking to you some more. Instead of doing what I did, I shared that example when I threw a Jehovah Witness out of my house. How is that showing him love? Had I taken time to show it to him lovingly that he was wrong, he probably would have come back and kept listening to me. And we could have continued this dialogue. So what are you afraid of? Here's what I see the most common. My fear is I won't know what to say. Here's what God says. I'm going to give you the words, Matthew 10:19. And when they call you before the courts and the kings, don't think about and worry about what you're going to say, for at that point in time, I will give you the words. Simple, right? This goes back to when Alexa talked about being in the Word of God. If you commit yourself, and by the way, that is not something that happens accidentally. You cannot accidentally read the Word of God. You have to commit yourself, and you have to put it first. You put being in the Bible first, being in prayer first, then you will get there. And trust me, everything else will fall into place. But if you are in the Word of God, you'll be so shocked as you're studying and you're reading, and you go to talk to someone, and all of a sudden these verses will start popping in your head. You'll start answering them the truth out of the Scripture. When the devil comes at you, with his flaming darts, and you got your shield of faith up there, it's there, and you have this Word of God, the sword. How can you wield the sword if you're never reading it? Don't worry about what you're going to say. Some people tell you, I don't want to offend or upset people. God says the gospel is an offense to those who perish. Nobody wants to be called out in their sins. Telling people they are sinners doomed for hell doesn't sound very loving. God's response? God is a judge who has no choice but to send people to hell. To love them is to warn them. Revelation 20:15, it says, and behold, all those names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Travis, if I was up here, I have a glass of juice up here yet. Now let's say this juice was arsenic. okay? Arsenic is a very deadly poison. And I was about to drink this. Would you warn me? But wait. No, you're going to tell me that if I drink this, I'm going to die a horrible death. And I'm doomed to death. That doesn't sound very loving, Travis. You see this? If you are afraid because you think telling people they're going to hell is not loving, but you'll tell them that drinking poison will kill them, one kills the body, the other kills the soul. I'm too busy to do God's work. God said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, I'm not saying don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't work your job. You have to provide for your family. I'm not saying don't bury your dead. I'm saying if you are using that as an excuse, if you're putting anything above God, then you are wrong. All of us in here are busy. John is a very busy man. Just talk to him. He's got this going and that going and that going. Ember works insane amount of hours. Travis. Lynette is going to school for nursing. And is about to take CNA classes. Yet when we called her the other day, she showed up. She didn't say, I'm too busy. She said, hold on. Let me get the kids somewhere. I'll be right there. Sandy's always doing something. Yet when I messaged her and I said, I really need you down here, she was here. I can't give back to God because I'm afraid I won't have money for food or clothes. What does the Bible tell us? God promises he'll provide for you. I'm just going to warn you right now. If you ever come to me for counseling because your finances are a mess, you know what the first question I'm going to ask you is? Are you tithing? God says, you give back to me what is mine, I will meet all your needs and then some. He said, if you look at, you take your check, you take the first fruits, and we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks. You take that first 10%, you give it back to me, give it back expecting more from me. And do it. You know, for the longest time, we weren't tithing because we would look at our bills and we'd be like, we can't give God this. We won't have money for this. And God got a hold of us. He said, I promise you, I'm going to take care of you. If I promise you, you can hold me to that. So we started giving a minimum of 10%, plus supporting missionaries on top of that. You know what God did? We would look at our bills, we're like, man, we're not going to have enough money to cover the bills. But we say, what is God is God's. We give it back to God. Not only do we have enough money to cover the bills every month, we have extra money. Okay? It's one thing if God would just say, here, I'm going to make it so you make it through. He's like, no, you're going to give to me. I'm going to give back in abundance to you. These aren't up there, but I thought of these. What are you afraid of? I am not a parent, so I don't completely understand, you know, having a child. Laetitia just went back and she was like a child to us. Are you afraid of losing your kids? Are you so afraid of losing your kids that you are putting them above God? Because I guarantee you put your kids above God, God will take those kids away. Are you going to still love God if something bad would happen to your child? Are you still going to love God? You have to answer yourself that. Are you afraid of? Are you afraid your marriage might fall apart? Are you putting your marriage or your husband or your wife in God's place? That's not where they belong. You want marriage to work? A marriage is like a pyramid. You put God at the top. As both of you climb towards God, You will meet together. But if you put your husband or wife above where God's rightful place is, bad things are going to happen. So what should you fear? What should I fear? We need to fear God. We're like, fear God? Wait. The Bible tells us God loves us and cares for us and he's going to take care of us. Yeah. But the Bible also says, fear him. Do you know what I am most afraid of? I'm just going to be really honest with you. I'm afraid I'm going to let God down. God instructed me. God called me to lead this church. Every single thing I do for this church is to bring glory to him and not let him down. I'm going to put my... We need to revere him. Capital H-I-M. The God who created the universe, who spoke it into being, the one who holds our lives in his hand. Do you understand that? They used to preach things like sinners in the hand of an angry God when it talked about a spider being held above a flame and one little snip of the line and the spider is gone. That's you. We should have reverence for him and his commands. We should live our whole lives with one burning question. Does this bring glory to God? When you're at your work, you can still bring glory to God. Alexa told me a while back, she said, people will come in, people will start talking around me, they'll start swearing, and when they see me, they'll stop. And they'll say, I'm sorry, Alexa, and they'll change their language. You know why that is? It's not because they think Alexa's cool and awesome, because, yeah, we know she isn't. It's because they know that she serves God, and she puts God so high that they feel they need to adjust their behavior around her. That's how you bring glory to God, even at your workplace. Go back, please. If Jesus was standing next to you while you were doing whatever it is you're doing, would you keep doing it? I think so often we think, nobody sees this sin, so I can get away with it. Nobody sees me when I'm at home sitting on my computer looking at pornography. Nobody sees me if I take a little extra money out of the till. No one knows this, so I can get away with it. If God was standing right next to you, would you still be doing that? Here's what it comes down to. If the answer is no, stop. Because you know what? God sees your heart. And everything you have hidden in there, and all those sins you think no one can see, God sees them. And don't think you have to be in ministry to bring glory to God. Live your life for him. It comes down to simple things like, Ember, you do like customer service, right? All right. If a customer calls Ember up and just laying into her and just using all this foul language, how does Ember respond? By yelling back? No. She holds her cool and talks calmly to them. Or if a customer hasn't paid their bill, and when they come in to pay their bill, they apologize, it's 6 months late. Ember has every right to jump down their throat and yell at them and call them names. But instead, she responds in love and kindness. And when you do that, you bring glory to God. I've used this example before, but I'm going to use it again. When you're out getting a meal and the food is cold, the food is late, they messed up your order, they did all these things wrong, how do you respond? You have every right to go to the manager and calmly explain what happened. Calmly. Are you going to stand up there and scream and shout and make a huge scene? Does that bring glory to God? I'll even go the extra route. If I have an amazing server, when I leave, I'll ask for the manager. And I'll tell the manager, you know, the waiter or waitress I had, they were amazing. You have a great employee there. Everyone wants to be recognized when they do good. By recognizing the good people do, we can bring glory to God. But who are you going to listen to? This is what it comes down to. There are two people talking to you right now. The devil is screaming at you as loud as he can because he's so far away from you, he's screaming at you. But the God of the universe who is holding you in his arms is whispering in your ear. He doesn't have to yell because he's right there with you. The enemy says, you can't do this. You can't do this. Don't even try it. You'll just be a failure. Why do you even try to do things like this? You're worthless. You're no good. God tells us, I can do all things through Christ. Who are you listening to? The enemy tells you, you're not worthy. Man, nobody will ever love you. God especially could never love you. You're going to be alone for the rest of your life, and no one's going to care about you because you're worthless. You going to listen to that? Or are you going to listen when Christ, God says, you've been sanctified through the blood of Christ? Who are you listening to today? Bible tells us, no one loves you. Or the enemy tells us, no one loves you. I used to think that all the time. I used to listen to that constantly. No one loves you. You're going to be alone. Your wife's going to leave you. Your husband's going to leave you. That's what the enemy wants to tell you. You going to listen to that? Or are you going to listen to God when he says this to you? God loves you. And nothing will ever stop that. Do you know he says even the depths of hell cannot separate you from my love? Think about that. God says even if I have to send you to hell, I'm not going to stop loving you. If that can't remove the love of God from you, what can? Absolutely nothing. The enemy tells us they won't listen to you. Why go share the gospel? They won't listen to you. Why tell them about God? They won't listen to you. They're too old. They're too young. They're too set in their ways. They're too stubborn. I hear that all the time from the enemy when I'm going out to witness. I'm like, God, who am I going to talk to? And I'll look at these people like, well, they're really old, so they probably Lutheran, and, you know, I really shouldn't talk to them. And, well, they're too young. God didn't say pick and choose who you're going to share the gospel with. He said go to the world and share the gospel with all the nation. We want the old, we want the young, we want the middle-aged. We want the people who have seen it all to guide us younger ones. We want the younger ones who are coming up in Christ. We want everybody. They won't listen to you. God's word will not return void, but set out what it was accomplished to do. This sermon is being recorded. It's on live stream. This is going to go beyond the people in this room to hear it. This sermon may not be for you or anybody in this room, but I know it's going to go forth and accomplish what it's meant to do. I know it's going to change lives because it's the Word of God. It's not because I'm good at speaking. It's because what I'm speaking, who's speaking through me. The enemy says, look at all the problems you have. Look at all the problems you have. You think coming to God's going to fix your problems? You think God can use you because you have all these problems? God can't use you, Josh. God can't use you because of your past. God can't use you because you're in debt. God's not going to save you. God, Jamie, God's not going to help you. God can't use you because of these problems. God's given you these problems. Is that who you're going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the liar when he says that to you? Look at your problems. What does God say? Cast your burdens onto me. Don't count your crosses, count your blessings. Where are you putting your focus? Are you putting your focus on all the problems you have? Are you putting your focus on God? Are you giving your burdens up to him to let him carry them for you? God never once said you're in this alone. You have to do this all by yourself. You have to do this in your own power. He repeatedly says to you, come to me, those who are weak and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Cast your burdens onto me. Do you believe that? Or is that something we're just willing to say? Like the song. If you believe it, cast your burdens onto him. Don't listen to that liar. I love this one. You will never escape your addictions. Hey, I know you're addicted to drugs. I know you're addicted to alcohol. I know you're addicted to sugary fast food. I mean, just look at you. I hear that a lot. You'll never get rid of that. As long as you live, you'll need that bottle. You'll need that pill. You'll need that burger. God says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have been set free? That you don't have to go back to your addictions? Christ sets you free. Are you living like it? Or are you going back? Don't listen to that liar when he says you need that bottle, you need this burger, you need this sugar. I keep saying sugar because I'm preaching to myself here too. In case you haven't figured that out. Don't listen to him when he says that. Listen to God. Finally, the last question here. Am I willing to cast my fears into the fire and follow God? I have pieces of paper here. In a few moments, I want to have you come up here. I'm going to have you write down the fear that's holding you back from following God. We're going to lay them down up here. We're going to fold them up. We're going to lay them down. Then we're going to take them out and we're going to burn them. Because you weren't given that spirit of fear. You were given a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And if you say to me, well, Pastor Josh, that sounds really good, but I don't think I can do this alone. I think I need help. That's great. Because God says, I want to help you. But if you say, I need a little extra encouragement. Do you know what the word encouragement means? It literally means to press courage into someone. And if you're at that point where your fears are so insurmountable, you feel that you need extra courage, we will anoint you with oil and we will pray over you and we will press courage into you. Know this. You are not alone. Not only is God on your side, but look around this room right now. Everybody look around. This family is here for you. I guarantee it. No matter what you are going through, someone here can relate to you. Someone here will walk beside you. They will pray with you. Alexa. You want to know what my fear is? I keep letting the enemy tell me that I'm going to fail. The enemy keeps telling me, you're going to fail. You're not good enough for this. You know what God keeps telling me? I called you. I chose you for this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. So I'm going to put that in the fire today. I'm going to quit listening to the enemy. So write down whatever it is that you're afraid of. If you need extra courage, we will gladly press courage into you. But you need to answer today, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the God of the universe who created you? Or are you going to listen to fear? I'm telling you right now, God tells you the truth. Fear, he's nothing but a liar. And we're calling him out today. We're calling him out on his lies. The newlywed game. Looking forward to this. Got a couple of volunteers lined up, I hope. Yes? No? Oh, okay. No? Okay, I got to find another volunteer. All right. We'll take care of that. So, all right. So, next week, we're going to talk about the newlywed game, understanding what it means. Do you know Christ calls you his bride? What does it mean to be the bride of Christ? We're going to find out next week. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you have done. I thank you for these people here. These people who have come forward and cast their fears down. We're going to cast these fears into the fire, Lord. I pray for double blessings upon everyone here. Well, remind them they have the power. They have the spirit of power and of love and of self-control, Lord. Let's go forward and live that way. I pray you bless everyone on their way home, Lord. Keep them safe to today and all through the week until we can come back together, worship you, and search after your truth some more, God. God, we love you for who you are and everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. If you'd like to come out and watch the bonfire, feel free.